We believe proactive planning for your exit is necessary because you can't become the person in the moment. You have to be the person when the moment arrives in order for you to move through that with grace and ease and be the person who's holding true to their values and their morals.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. Today is going to exceed your expectation. I have my good friend, Jerome Myers here. He's been on the podcast before. In fact, he was instrumental in helping me to start the podcast. We've done lots of things together, from real estate investing to mentorship programs and other groups. It's been great for me to see him continue to evolve and adapt and to be an example for many of us that are in his circle. There are several people who have started businesses following his example and encouragement. So today, we're going to have a great discussion with Jerome Myers, my friend, business partner, coach, brother. Jerome, welcome to the show.
Man, Brother James, it's good to be with you. You're setting the bar so high, we haven't even started talking yet. I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet the expectations, but hopefully the listeners will hold on long enough for me to share at least a nugget with them that helps them on their journey. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sure they're going to be able to get a lot of great nuggets. For the listeners that are new to the podcast and they weren't here to listen to your past episode, we'll put a link to your past episode in the show notes, but why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are?
Man, I'm just the son of a soldier and a stay-at-home mom. If I break it down at the core, they taught me to care about people and demonstrate compassion and to see humans. I think the biggest lesson that I was ever taught is love is the only law. I believe fear is the opposite of love. And so when we're making decisions, I think we get the pick on which emotion we're going to use to drive that decision. And so I've been using that guiding principle on this journey that we've been on. And so today we help founders exit with clarity and confidence from their company. Many people spend 15, 20, sometimes even 40 years building a company. And when it comes time for them to exit, they're scared because they haven't been able to imagine life without the company. It's been a part of their life and much of their identity for so long. And so they hang on. And sometimes they miss the opportunity. An interesting fact is only 2 out of 10 businesses that are listed for sale actually successfully complete the transaction. And so if you think about working on something for 40 years and 80% of your net worth being tied up in that business, and you get to the end of the road and you only have a 20% chance of success in finding that liquidity event, which unlocks the capital that's been trapped in the company while you were building it, it can get pretty uncomfortable. Then there's a lot of people who regret it. So there was a Wells Fargo study that says 75% of business owners regret selling their company after they exit. And the thought that only 20% successfully achieve this milestone, and then only 25% of that 20% actually are happy about the decision, makes it no wonder why people are struggling with this concept of exiting or retiring or what we call work optional.
So you're currently helping companies and founders with their exits and making sure that they have all of their ducks in a row, right? From the company side, making sure that that's there, but also you're providing for that level of care for the founder, because it sounds like it's a good mixture of both from what you're describing, because your care for that individual tends to come through, even as you're thinking about the statistics and thinking about how that statistics may be impacting them and how they're feeling while they're going through this decision.
Yeah. So our perspective is that most founders don't ever have anybody in the transaction advocating for them. What we understand is that most exit advisors are focused on the transaction. They are loyal to the deal. And so the goal is to get the transaction completed. It's something that you see in real estate often, where the real estate broker is just trying to get to the transaction because that's when they get paid. Our perspective is we want to put the founder first, and we want to make sure that the founder is optimizing for post-exit fulfillment. Most people disappear and vanish at the transaction, and we call it a portal. We want to step through the portal with the founder so that when they get to the other side, they are living the life that they envisioned. They do have an idea of what's going to provide them fulfillment, and they know what they're going to do to fill the time that they were spending on the business that they are exiting. It's our goal to help somebody exit to something instead of exit from their company. And that too, we want to be purpose fulfillment and not what has traditionally been defined as purpose and fulfillment.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you.
You're helping the company prepare for the transition, and you're helping the founder prepare for that transition, because the two are linked, but they're not the same transitions. What's needed in order to prepare the company? Because if you want to maximize your exit, there are probably some things that that company needs to start doing 3, 4, 5 years ahead of time in order to maximize the value of that exit. And for the founder, I imagine that there are some things that they will probably need to start working on and exploring as they're preparing to exit.
Why is this such a challenging experience for founders? There's this unraveling of the identity between the founder and the business, and the two have to split in order for somebody to buy the business and for the founder to move on to the next space. And I don't believe that people really understand how important it is for them to have identity outside of work. And it's why I love the work that you do with Engineer Your Success, because, you know, being able to win at work and at home is something that very few people figure out. People don't actually prioritize that. Like, they don't see it. And so with no example or no exposure, I think they just continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. And then when it comes time to get to this end where there's this separating of the two, they have no idea what to do without it. Yeah. And we call that the founder's exit paradox. It's the unraveling, the decoupling of the identity.
It reminds me that those two things become linked, whether you're talking about your career and you as an individual, whether you're talking about your company, you know, as a founder, and those things begin to become part of your identity. And you're right, you have to be able to begin to decouple those. And it's best if you are proactive in that decoupling versus making the exit and then all of a sudden something's been snatched away from you, and then you spend time aimlessly wandering around trying to figure out who you are.
So the proactive piece of this, I think, is the most important thing that people can take away. When you are driving the change, when you are in control of the change, your sense of empowerment is so much higher, and that allows you to accept what's happening at a faster rate than when you feel like you're being dragged along, pulled, or forced into a different situation. And that creates friction or resistance. From my perspective, most people don't actually accept that they're the main character. And so what we see them doing is they're hiding behind the business because they haven't spent the time accepting who they are, or they haven't spent the time exploring who they are. And it's easier to talk about headcounts, titles, and revenue, but to actually talk about, oh, well, this is what brings me passion, and this is what I enjoy, and here are the people I like serving, and these are the types of problems I like working on. Most people are uncomfortable doing that.
And I think part of it may be they may have had that at one point in time, but then life happens, business happens, demands happen, and you begin to get subsumed by, you know, imagine there's a person in a relationship, and I know we're not talking about relationships, but I guess to some degree we are. You know, you come with who you are, they come with who they are. There's a tension that may happen if you begin to allow yourself to decrease, so that now the identity of your partner becomes your main identity and you get lost in that. You had it in the beginning, but you get lost. And I think some people get lost in their careers. They get lost in their businesses because it's just easier for them to do that than it is to fight to maintain who they are.
Fight's a great word, right? And so if we go back to this, people fight when they're scared, right? They fight out of fear. They don't fight out of love. What we want people to do is really figure out, like, who am I? And actually love the very essence of that. Because when you do that, our approach seems indirect, but I think it's very direct. When you love yourself, you vibrate on a certain frequency that attracts different energy than what you would get if you were just trying to brute force your way through it. And, you know, it's one of the things I admire most about you, because there's never a force in your approach with anything, whether it's with your wife, your boys, or even in business. It is, I'm expecting great things to happen. I am going to be a beacon of hope and light. And because of that, amazing things are going to come to me. I'll never forget. And you mentioned that we're business partners. I'll never forget. We had a deal that was in trouble. And I was like, I just got to get out of it. I'm going to get out of it. And you're like, Jerome, the deal can't fail. We're both in this. There's no way that the deal can fail. It's going to go well. And it was just the most calming certainty. And I was just like, you have no idea what's going on. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It is going to be just fine. But there's a level of understanding and awareness that has to take place. And you can only understand those things if you've been through something. Yeah. And so, like, the magic of this is most people are frantic. Most people are chaotic. They're scared and they're looking for a way out of this very quiet and dark and accepting space. Mm-hmm. And the answer is there. Now, sometimes you might want to have a guide, and it was, man, you've been there for all the good stuff. You remember when we went in that cave in Western North Carolina?
Yes.
And they put us in one of the deepest chambers, and it was totally dark, right? And we cut out all the headlamps. There were no lights in the room, and you were just there, and you could feel the heaviness of the darkness. And for some of us, that's how we see silence. That's how we see ourselves. It's just this dark space. The thought that you could have somebody go into that space with you and then turn on the headlamp and help guide you out of it, yeah, is what we're talking about today. And so, like, I don't want to be hyperbolic or catastrophize the exit. But what I know to be true is that most people who have a liquidity event exit to a void. And when they exit to that void, it is this deep, dark, scary space and place where they don't know how to find their way out. You know, if you're walking around in the dark, you can bump your head, you can stub your toe. And if you don't have somebody there to help guide you out of that, you can end up in real trouble.
It's interesting because there are two kind of images that come to mind. One is the person that's going to throw you a rope, kind of give you a lifeline. They're going to try to pull you up. They're going to give you some advice. Hey, you need to grab hold. That's one thing. What you just described is that you're going to get down in the hole with them. You're going to get in the dark with them. You're going to come into the foxhole that they've built. and say, okay, come on, brother. Let's get out of this. Let me help you and guide you through this process that, you know, you need to get to that other side. What are the emotions, or what is this person feeling when it's ideal for them to work with you?
Yeah. So that question is the easiest to answer. And it's, I don't know what's next. The next person that we would help is the person who says, hey, I want to exit in 3 to 5 years, but I have no idea if I'm exit ready. And we've got a solution for that. We've got this really cool thing called the exit readiness assessment that people could take. And, you know, in less than 10 minutes, they can see where the areas of improvement are.
So for that first person that's saying they don't know what's next. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have a disposition of, man, I don't know what's next, but I'm ready for whatever the next stage is going to be. And you also have the disposition of, man, I have no clue. I don't know what's next. And it kind of scares me a little bit. Those two, they're both saying, yeah, I don't know what's next. And you may be able to help them both, but I think the approach mm-hmm. is going to be slightly different depending on what emotion is attached to the, I don't know what's next.
Yeah. So what's interesting is they both people, you describe the same person at different phases. Mm. And so there's this thing called unconscious incompetence. Some people call it overconfidence. And so the first person, right, I'm ready for what's next person, the one that's excited, is unconsciously incompetent because they forgot what it's like to suck. It's for it to suck. Like, they don't realize, like, figuring all the stuff out again is really hard. And coming up with a new identity or showing up in a new way for people who've known you to be something for a long time is really uncomfortable. And the fact that people are going to be new and change and et cetera, like, all of that is new. And for most people, it is extremely uncomfortable and difficult to work through. Now, the person who's like, oh, I really don't know, that person's probably dug in a little bit deeper, right? So if we go back to the person before, they haven't actually done the work to come up with the thing. And so they're just like, oh, I'm just excited. You know, it's going to be great. The person that's actually, oh, well, let me figure out the thing. There's this acceptance of, I don't know. And this kind of leads us into what we call the six centers of doubt. And so you experience that I don't know in six areas. And the first one is your self-image, right? Because in concept, you are a totally different person because a part of you is gone. Then there's your relationships. What we found is over 60% of the relationships that you spend time with on a daily basis are going to vanish on the backside of your exit. And so think about if you think about the five people you spend the most time with, think about having to replace three of those. Then there's work. So you spend 30 to 100 hours a week working on your thing. And in that, there's a whole lot of time that you don't have to plan for because it's planned for you by the activity of the business. What are you going to do now with that time? Health is the next one. I think a lot of folks say, hey, I gave up my health. Maybe I should reprioritize that now, but they don't know how to do it, especially in this body, because when they started deprioritizing their health, they were much younger.
Yeah.
Five is prosperity. And this is when it gets sexy because, you know, some people like seeing balances. Prosperity for us isn't just money because we don't think that's the beginning and the end. We think the beginning and the end is the resources that you have to allocate. And so that's time, your talent or energy, and the treasure, money. And so the goal here is for you to optimize those three resources and be a fiduciary of those. Because I think many people waste time or they waste money or they waste their energy or talent. And when you are work optional or free, it is your duty to use those resources wisely, because the whole point of you getting to this place was so that you can invest those resources well. And then the last one is significance. And this is the question that everybody ponders at some point. It's like, does my life even matter? And what can I do to make it matter? The short answer is always going to be service to others. But yeah. How you do that, who you do it for, and the why you're doing it is a journey in and of itself.
I love it. The parallel for me is, I know we're talking about business owners, but I think the same parallel is for someone who's considering retirement. Because the same things that you're talking about, disassociating from the identity, going through those things that they don't know, shoring up their finances, wanting to go towards something in terms of building a life of significance, I think those same things happen when people are thinking about retiring. So my background is in the highway maintenance area. So I can remember several folks who had been working in highway maintenance for 40 years. They would go to retire and then they get bored because they've defined themselves by a particular identity. Now that identity is gone and they didn't take the time to invest in those other areas, whether it's building up friendships, doing other things to make a good transition for them.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you.
Can we talk about what a good transition is? What would make a transition good? I'm always curious about this.
For me, you're transitioning to something, not necessarily from something, because, you know, people are either motivated by gain or kind of the absence of pain or running away from that pain. To me, the transition is, hey, what do I want to do? What do I want to become? Who do I want to impact? And how can I begin to plan life so that that happens? And that may just be because of the way that I'm wired. If you think about my transition in entrepreneurship, a lot of it was, what does the impact that I want to make? Hey, my boys are going to be going to college soon. What kind of life do I want when that time rolls around? I don't need to wait until that happens. I need to start putting things in place now so that I can have a smoother transition.
Man, we have such good conversations because you always spark a new thread for me. I think many people see the transition as just that, a transition. We think about it as a transformation. So when a person steps through that portal, they're beginning a new phase. It's a new life. And we call it your next, right? And so you get the opportunity to be one of four characters in that new space. You can be the villain, you can be the victim, you can be the hero, or you can be the guide. We right. found that for the people who want significance, that stepping into the guide space is the magic for them to create the impact that they desire most.
Okay. So now describe to me these other characters in terms of them stepping into that space.
Yeah. So the victim is the one that's been wronged. Typically, what we find is that the founders who have the most fulfillment are working to eradicate the problem that or the way that they were wronged. And so that was them being the victim at some point. So they see other people suffering this injustice. The hero is that victim with their energy repurposed. And so they have the ability to, they feel like they can make an impact and they're acting intentionally to make sure that they protect those who are around them. And so many people feel like that's the main character. And so they step into that main character energy. And typically that's where they are pre-exit. They are the main character in the business. They're running around. They're doing the things. They are source. They're saving the day. If it is to be, it's up to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the villain. Sometimes we drop down into the villain energy. And, you know, the villain is the one that is wronging other people. Their focus is internally in order to get what they can get out of this situation. They're not looking for mutual benefit. They're not looking to serve or give. They're looking to take and receive.
Got it.
And that's, you know, a vacuum. Now, some of us would say, oh, I'm never a villain. There is absolutely somebody that's experienced you that thought you were the villain, even if you were doing whatever you could in order to help them get into the space.
And so these roles that you're talking about, these roles seem like they can happen pre and or post exit.
We've got these personality profiles that we go through. So the hero energy is tied to our Neo personality profile, but the hero, when you try to stay in hero energy post exit, you don't actually move to what we consider to be a higher order or a new level. The next level from hero is taking that learning and then helping another hero by being their guide.
So if I exit, I still have the hero energy, then I'll probably be going to start another company or do something very similar to what I just did. So I may be a serial entrepreneur. I may be just doing stuff. I'm taking some of what I've learned, but I am still the main engine behind what we're creating. Whereas the guide may be creating a company, but they're also going to look to empower other people to start them on their journey or to bring them in to help create what they're trying to create much faster, bigger, and better.
Yeah. They're getting things done outside of their individual effort. They are not the, and if we go to the what's the book with Jim Collins, the Good to Great book, and Good you talk great, about yeah. level mm-hmm. five leaders, because I know you're a big leadership guy, right?
Yeah.
And you think about the wizard with 1,000 helpers and then the level five leaders. Like, this is level five leadership epitomized when you're moving to that next phase. And things are getting done not through your individual effort, but through the efforts of other people.
So I'm always enjoying our conversations, and I want to make sure that the dots are connecting for folks, because we have background, we have history, we have context, right? So, you know, for somebody listening in, can you just quickly describe the process that you take people through, and what's the best way for people to get connected with you if they're interested in taking this journey?
Yeah. So the process is around, everybody kept asking, you know, what's next? And we was like, so what's your next? And so we took the word next and we turned it into an acronym. And so the N is for nourish. And what we want the hero to do is take time to actually reflect and understand and nourish their soul. We want to move to the next letter, which is an E, and we want you to evaluate the resources that are available to you, and then the ability to allocate those against different pathways that's going to lead you to that post-exit fulfillment. The X, we got cutesy here, so we dropped the E, and we want to explore. Right? We want to explore those pathways because, you know, there's a few ways to get to an outcome. We don't know which one's optimal, but we want to start down the path so that we can actually see the outcome that we're looking to see by making progress. The way I like to describe this is, if I'm driving to California at night, you know, I might be able to see 50, 150 feet ahead of me. I can't see all the way to California. Some people don't want to do anything until they can know how they're going to get to California.
Yeah.
I don't even need to know what city I'm going to in California when I first start out from North Carolina. I just need to start heading west. And so we want to get people started on the journey, and then you hone in on the address as you get closer to the destination. And then the last letter is T. And so it's for transcend. And this is when you move to that new space. And so in our latest book, Exit to Excellence, Your Journey to Your Next, we take the main character, James, who just exited his company, on this journey. And we move him through the different phases. We give all kinds of frameworks and experiences for people to understand what it's actually like to get that peek behind the curtain on how to go on this journey. Because for most people, they've never experienced it. And if you think about it, we go back to the numbers that we started with. 2 in 10 successfully sell that are listed. Only 25% of the 20% actually are happy that they did what they did.
Yeah.
And so that's what we call exiting excellence. We want you to be the 25% of the 20%.
Yeah. You want them to be part of that select few that I talk about. The other parallel that I see is, because I'm thinking about my journey when I was transitioning from corporate America to entrepreneurship, and a lot of these same principles apply when you're talking about those steps. I mean, this could possibly be adopted or adapted for a different kind of process for folks that are making that kind of transition as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, you always trigger a thought for me. And so my thought in response to that is the ability, everybody doesn't have the blessing of being a parent, right? But the ability to be able to create and then have that creation go off and continue to thrive without you is the ultimate reward if you're willing to let it go, right? Yeah. Some people believe that it's a loss and they want to hold on to it. Mm. But if you can let it go, it will be able to do and grow in ways that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. That's a great parallel. And of course, I think about it every day now. My oldest son is about to go away to college in the fall. So I'm in that moment of we have to continue to let go and take whatever steps that we can now to make sure that he's equipped with what he needs to be able to thrive. And that's the same thing that you want the founders to do for their companies and organizations. And if I think about the steps that my wife and I have been taking to prepare ourselves to be empty nesters, because my youngest son will be going into the 11th grade, then there's an absolute kind of parallel. We have to prepare ourselves for that transition as well as equip and prepare them for the transformations that they're going to undergo.
Yeah. And transformation is the key word. I think a lot of people are holding on to transitions. If you think about a butterfly, pre-cocoon and post-cocoon are two totally different beings.
Yeah.
Now, you might be like, no, the metamorphosis is different. And if you actually go into the dark, if you spend the time alone or with a guide who is exploring those spaces for you, you can end up in a very, very special place and become something extremely beneficial for the world.
Yeah. So when I think about the word choices, because some people are going to say, you know, Jerome, you're wordsmithing this. It's actually the same. But when I think about the two words, when I think of a transition, I think of I'm in between different states or a path. I'm transitioning to and from. I'm like in between. Right. So at some point in time, I'm touching both sides of where I'm transitioning from into. When I think of transformation, you're right. It's like totally new, something totally new, something being created, something new that's being created from what the elements of who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah. I think that scares a lot of people. Back to the love and fear concept. And so what I would say is if you truly love yourself and you're willing to dive deep, you will experience and be rewarded in a way that you can't imagine. But you have to be willing to go into a space that most people avoid.
Okay. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Man, I would love for your listeners, because I know they're highly successful engineers and some of them own their own companies, to jump over to exittoexcellence.com/ERA. And there you can do the exit readiness assessment. And, you know, for those business owners, It doesn't matter if you don't see yourself exiting in the next year, 3 years, or 5 years. Knowing where you are from an exit readiness standpoint is extremely important. The other thing I would say is you want your business exit ready as soon as possible. And you might say, oh, well, we need 3 years to do that. There are four things that cause people to exit their business unexpectedly. And if you're not exit ready, the valuation of your business is going to be greatly impacted. And so there's burnout, death, divorce, and disease can cause you to unexpectedly exit your business. And so it's our ambition to help people have a clear understanding of where they stand so that they can begin the process of getting the business exit ready. And you don't just want to clean up your house because you have guests coming over. A clean house always feels better. And so you're going to enjoy it a lot more if you go ahead and get it taken care of. And why wouldn't you want to enjoy the space that you made prior instead of just making it such that other people can come take it over?
No, that's good, man. That's good. I love it. I appreciate you coming on the podcast again, talking about what you've been working on, you know, the care that you have for these business owners, these founders. And I think it's a great compliment to the different things that we cover because we care for the whole person, right? You are a person first, an engineer second. Business owners and founders, they're people too. And they face the same struggles, fears, issues that everybody else faces. And I'm grateful for those people that you exist because you're not only there to serve their companies, you're there to serve them as well.
It's always an honor to spend time with you, my friend.
It is, man. So now we've come to the time where we're going to switch things around, where you become the interviewer and I become the interviewee. It provides the guests an opportunity to ask questions. It provides folks to hear my take on different things. So Jerome, the mic is yours.
So it's been amazing to watch your journey over the past, oh my gosh, 16 years.
Yeah.
What I've been most impressed with is how you've been able to stay true to your core morals and values the entire journey. And what I think is so important and really works well here is when we think about the context of this conversation is, because we haven't used the word yet, values. How did you get clear on your values? And then to tag on to that, how did you make sure that you live them out on a daily basis and stay true to that in spite of the environment that you're in?
Yeah. First, thank you for your kind words and compliments. My second point that I would like to make is that you see the end result, but like everyone else, there are struggles. There are things that are happening beneath the surface as I am putting in new habits or responding to life's challenges with the goal of being able to show up in life with those values. And so I'm not saying that what you see is a facade, but what you may not see is all of the work that's happening on the back end. Cause people will see, you know, may hear the statement, oh, 16 years you've been, yeah, but there's been a lot of work. There's been a lot of inner work. There's been a lot of making sure that I'm responding in a way that gets at the result or impact that I want to make, particularly when we're talking about family or other dynamics in the environments that we're in. So thank you. And I would say for me, it was nailing down what really mattered to me, what really matters to me. And that evolves as life evolves. And so it's not that maybe the things that matter may not change, but the order in which I prioritize those things may change, just depending on what's going on. So for me, a lot of the transformation for me happened, you know, when my youngest son, Nathaniel, was born at 26 weeks in a day, was 1 pound, 14 ounces. And I've been talking about this story a lot is when I ask myself those three questions. Do you want to win at work? Do you want to win at home? Are you? And we can, we'll put a link in the show notes to a interview that I did on the Beats Working podcast that talks exhaustively about that particular story. But I was faced with conflict and I had to ask myself these questions. Because I could not answer that question, yes, I started to change. I started to say, what's really important to me is spending time with my family and making sure that I'm able to design and live a life where I win at work and at home. That became the most important thing. Designing a situation where I could win in both places, that became the most important thing. And that became a guiding principle for how I lived my life.
So what we found with, you know, highly what we call apex performers, if they've had like five scars, we call them the five scars of success. And so the first one is suicidal ideation. The second one is total financial ruin. The third one is losing someone close to them when they're young. The fourth one is what we call success or achievement-based love. And, you know, that pressure to perform is something that I think so many people struggle with. And then the last one is a near-death experience. And so when I think about these, and I've experienced all five of them, when I think about these are the things, and most people consider these traumatic experiences, these are the things that force us to get clear about what's important for us.
Yes.
And what you described, what I having a little one and the thought that they might not make it, to me is a near-death experience, especially when they're that close to being.
No, seeing him, and I don't talk about this a lot, and you know this part of the story, is when he was 10 days old, my wife and I were in the hospital, mm-hmm. and he stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. He turned blue. He was not there. And the doctors and the nurses and everybody, they're working on him. Melba and I, we're praying for him. And to see him then be there, that's, you know, it's like, whew, that was tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he was, you know, 3 or 4 months old, he was still in the hospital. And when they were doing that surgery, when he was 10 days old, they had to remove 2/3 of his intestines. Right? Because his body was eating away at itself. And then in December, when they had the surgery to reconnect, it was a desperate plea to say, we have to do something in order for this to work because he's not growing. He's not progressing the way that they want him to grow. And I will never forget. I will never forget. My wife and I had to get to the point where, you know, we're praying and we're like, okay, God, we don't want to see our son suffer. And if you are holding him here because we're saying we don't want to let go, we had to be willing to let go. Mm-hmm. I know it may sound bad. We had to be willing to let go. So we got to that point to let go. And we go to the doctor after the surgery. The doctor standing there, grim-faced. My wife and I are preparing ourselves for whatever the news that the doctor has. And we walk up and my wife, you know, she's like, just give it to us straight. Let us know exactly, you know, what it is. And the doctor starts smiling and he says, I don't get a chance to say this often in these cases, but I don't have any bad news. It's if over 50% of what they cut away grew back healthy. They were able to reconnect his intestines. They were able to do all, you know, they were able to reconnect what was cut away. And that's a miracle, man. And so, you know, if I hadn't been making the changes before then, I would have had to start making changes. I started making changes as soon as he was born, but I mean, you can't, in the face of a miracle of a life being taken away and there and then being healed, not say, okay, I need to make some changes.
You can't do it in the moment. And so, like, this captures the very essence of why we believe proactive planning for your exit is necessary. Because you can't become the person in the moment. You have to be the person when the moment arrives in order for you to move through that with grace and ease and be the person who's holding true to their values and their morals. You can't make those up when the opportunity is there for those things to come out, because what will come out is what is already there.
Yep.
And it either will bust the pipe or make you demonstrate that you're a diamond. And so, man, I just relish in the fact that there are people out there who are the real deal. You are the real deal. You have the lived experience personally as well as professionally that positions you to help anybody on their journey. It doesn't matter where they are in their walk. You can meet them where they are and take them to the place that they want to go. Like, you move from being the Neo and running hundreds of millions of dollars in projects to helping business owners really take advantage, and even engineers who are, whether they're in academia or out in the marketplace consulting, be great. And so, you know, this isn't something you read in a book, you've lived it. And I just, I'm grateful for the opportunity to have access.
So we're going to stop the James and Jerome Love Fest. We're going to have to rein this in. You have an open invitation to come back. You want to talk about exits, and we want to focus the session on technical professionals that are exiting or companies, whatever you want. You have free access to the platform, unfettered access to the platform, because you know we roll like that.
Yeah, I'm okay? So grateful. Thank you so
much. I'm going to end this episode like I end every episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that follow through, do it, and they're able to live the life of their dreams. Jerome, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Honored.